Family, let's pray. Lord God, may your holy word be our holy rule, the Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our single concern. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Today, again, I'm going to do something a bit different. As I've been at Cornerstone for just over a year now, I'd like to share a part of my own testimony with you and discuss some of the promises that I've made as a pastor, your pastor. One of my favorite things to do, and a passion of mine, is teaching people what God's holy word has to tell us, primarily and ultimately through his holy word. And secondarily, with the aid and help of faithful tradition. I want to do this for many reasons. One reason is that if I don't teach, I find myself getting stale. If I don't read a lot, or if I'm not trying to read and teach others, then everything just shrivels up for me, and I have nothing left to say, which is not very suitable for a pastor. One of the main reasons for this is that I love walking alongside people as they enter into God's church and the true Christian faith. I enjoy watching people fall deeply in love with the beauty of our Creator and the beauty of the faith given to us by God. One thing that constantly awes and humbles me is that when people join God's church and, in the process, are shunned by their family, friends, and colleagues. In many parts of the world, even here, countless individuals get threats, even death and torture, when they join the church and proclaim Christ. When I encounter people who have experienced this, their stories make me take the faith that has been given to me more seriously. Adults who come into the faith are some of the best Christians that there are, even though babies and children receive the graces of God too and are welcomed into God's church and family as well. However, one reason many adults who come into the Christian faith are among the best is because they genuinely want to learn. Many of them make a considerable commitment to learning about God and his church, his people, and his mission for the world. Then, unfortunately, they join the church and come to sit next to us, or worse, next to me. Suddenly, the faith that they have heard so much about, which has amazed them, which has awed them as they learned about God's amazing nature and blessings and graces and how wonderfully he works among his people and through his church. Then they fake a stark contrast when they sit next to us. They sit next to individuals who stare lazily at the ceiling. They pick at their ears or even start to doze off. Who knows what they're doing? That right there is a tragedy. There is a common trend where people who come into the church sit not next to meet people like us, but those other Christians. They get lost in our midst. And sometimes those people are not even welcomed. They notice our lack of passion, mission, and faith, and then they leave. They come to the church, and within 6 to 9 months, they're gone. They usually leave for two reasons. First, people can get lost in churches. In churches like ours, cliques often form, making it challenging for people to become involved and establish meaningful relationships. It is not solely the job of the pastor or the appointed greeters, though pastors and greeters do have their roles, but rather the responsibility lies with the congregation members, you, to help make people feel welcomed, involved, and loved. It is also our collective duty to encourage one another towards holiness, to inspire each other to God's holy word, and to cheer each other on as we serve to build God's church and kingdom here on earth. The second reason people often leave the church is that they become disgruntled by the lack of faith they observe among us. Therefore, I believe that there is nothing more significant for me to do as the pastor of Cornerstone Church than to teach the true Christian faith to as many people as possible. I want us to know God, love God, and serve God. I want to help build authentic Christ followers. I want us to help understand the Holy Bible and the true Christian faith. Many people leave the church because they lack clear understanding of God and are unsure of what the church is. I do not know of anyone or have heard of anyone who has left the Christian church after studying the Holy Scriptures and the faith diligently, concluding that the Christian church is not right. You very rarely hear of anyone who was faithfully raised Christian saying, I have diligently read the Holy Scriptures. I poured through church history. I read the faithful fathers and teachers of the church and the early writings of rabbis. And I concluded that the Christian church does not proclaim the one and only true God. I have never heard that. I'm curious, how many people here would feel comfortable explaining what happens here when we come to worship God here on Sunday? If someone approaches you and asks about the Holy Scripture that says, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, how can he be with you here when you worship God together? That sounds like a contradiction to Holy Scripture. How would you explain that to them? You might want to consider speaking with a pastor. No. We need to know the answer to that and many more. As a pastor, I have numerous goals that I continually strive to achieve. I want to share three of them with you. I'll share one now and the other two at a later date. The first and primary goal of mine is to convey the teachings of God's Holy Scripture and the teaching of God's faithful church. That's my promise to you. Reflecting on this, I recall a story shared by a friend who works at a Christian high school. It is required that if you attend this Christian high school, that you need to participate in daily worship services there and Christian profession of faith classes. One day, this teacher received a call from a mother who respectfully requested to withdraw her child from the Christian education classes because she disliked the traditional direction that the classes were taking. She did not want her child to be subjected to that. What's the that? The that is truth. That's the that in that statement. I don't want my child to be subject to the truth. Tragically, our culture is increasingly taking a relativistic stand on who God is and what God proclaims, especially when it comes to God's holy and moral laws. This, too, is becoming increasingly common in the church, among us. We worship our own interpretation of the Holy Scriptures, rather than faithfully understanding the Scriptures correctly within the context of God's faithful church. We say that we want things to be biblical, and that is good. That is the way things should be in God's church. However, often when I hear people say that, in the undertone of that statement, whether they realize it or not, is that they desire a specific interpretation of the Holy Scriptures that may differ significantly from the way the faithful, biblical, historical, and traditional church has understood the Holy Scriptures. But that is simply another avenue of relativism. Friends, what could be more biblical than arriving at a faithful interpretation of the Holy Scriptures? The Holy Scriptures are the very words of God. It should be a goal for all of God's people to know them deeply. However, if we think that we can simply sit down with our Holy Bibles, asking the Holy Spirit to guide our understanding, which is good and right, but also believe that we can arrive at a correct understanding of the Holy Scriptures without the support and guidance and help of God's faithful, biblical, historical, and traditional church passed down through the ages, then we will find ourselves in error. In a way, when we prioritize our own interpretation of the Holy Scriptures over what has been faithfully handed down from generation to generation, we are not worshiping God, but rather ourselves. Just over 16 years ago, I was installed and ordained as a pastor. During my ordination and installation, I made promises to God, those that I would serve, and to the denomination. The purpose of these vows for me, under oath, is to swear to you, the people that I'm entrusted to serve, several important and biblical commitments. Let me share a couple of those promises that I made to you. And if you are familiar with the Holy Scriptures, you will see that these promises are full of references in the Holy Scriptures. I, Ryan Lant, on assuming the office of pastor, promise that both in my words and conduct, I shall always preserve communion with God's faithful church. I shall carry out with the greatest of care and fidelity the responsibilities by which I am bound in relation both to the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church and to the particular church in which I am called to exercise my service according to the requirements of God's calling. With firm faith, I believe everything contained in God's holy word, both the Old and New Testaments, is true in fulfilling the charge entrusted to me. In the name of the Lord, I shall hold fast to the true Christian faith in its entirety. Pass it on faithfully, explain it, and make it shine forth. I shall avoid and discourage any teachings opposed to the true Christian faith. I shall follow and foster the common discipline of the whole church and look after the observance of all God's holy scripture and moral laws. So help me, God. That is an act of integrity that I promise to every single one of you, whether you were aware of it or not. I shall hold fast to the true Christian faith in its entirety. Pass it on faithfully, explain it, and make it shine forth. I shall avoid and discourage any teachings opposed to the true Christian faith. This is a promise I have made to you. However, this does not mean that I have promised to stop thinking. One of the common and nonsensical accusations against Christians is that we don't think. The heck I don't. I'm now 43 years old, and I believe in total that I have not been involved in school for 7 or 8 years of my life. Ever since graduating from seminary, I have continued to read and study extensively on a wide variety of topics and issues. I think a lot. I love to learn and appreciate education. To all of you who work in the schools or higher education, thank you. Many of you may have seen those bumper stickers that say, "Think for yourself." But honestly, you can't think for yourself, all by yourself, on most things. Any good educator will tell you this. For the vast majority of topics, we are likely to be swayed, hopefully, by sound and convincing arguments. That's how our brains are wired to think by God. We base our knowledge on the foundation that has been laid by others. Hopefully, in this way, we believe in accordance with the truth and holy scriptures. And as Christians, we are called to think with the mind of Christ. The goal of the Christian life is to have our lives conformed to the person of Jesus. That's the goal for all of us. Not just those who are ordained, but for each and every one of us. We are supposed to grow in conformity to Jesus and his holy word. We are not meant to conform to the pattern of this world, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ and his holy word, and to become what God has called us to be through the Holy Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and the church. So, being faithful to God, to God's holy word, and to the tradition of his faithful church does not mean that you have forfeited your intellectual capacity. What it really means is that by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, you are actually going, hopefully, to begin to think for real. And I know that from my own life. I grew up in the church, and at the age of 13 or 14, I began to live a fairly double life, like many of us do at that age. I had one foot in the kingdom and the other in the world, and I prayed every day. But usually I just prayed that God would forgive me of how I was living my life. I had many objections to the things that the Holy Bible and the church teach, but they weren't well thought out objections. They were merely objections because I wanted to believe things that were not true. I valued my own interpretation. I wanted to hold on to the ideas that others had may have taught me that I once trusted, but yet they were wrong. Additionally, I found certain aspects of the Holy Bible and the church's teachings to be somewhat inconvenient for the way that I wanted to live my life, or for how my friends and family wanted to live theirs. I think this is where most people are. But that does not make it right. Most people have explanations for why they don't accept certain truths, but it usually boils down to the fact that they find the truth to be an infringement on their own personal beliefs. However, the truth really does set us free. Conforming ourselves to Jesus and his holy word sets us free. Even though it may be challenging or even complex to understand, it really does set us free. Jesus and his holy word is not a liar. The truth will set you free. Hopefully that is a main goal for each and every one of us, to pursue, see, know, accept, and live the truth, the cornerstone. But not our own truth, not our own interpretation, not from those who have separated from God's faithful, biblical, historical, and traditional church. The only real reason to teach anything is that it's true. That's what pastors and teachers task, to communicate the truth. There is nothing else truly worth teaching. And you are entitled to the truth as a faithful believer. You deserve far more than my own opinion. What is incumbent upon me is to find a way to present the truth so that it is understandable and accessible. Yet, you don't need my opinions. You deserve much more than my opinions. We have an incredibly rich heritage and faithful tradition as Christians. We stand on the shoulders of an incredible and mighty God who has given us the most significant revelation of his holy word. And still, we stand on the shoulders of great men and women, many of whom have died or have risked their lives to faithfully pass down the true Christian faith. Peter, Paul, Luke, John, James, Elijah, Moses, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, Eusebius, Augustine, John Chrysostom, Basil, Thomas Aquinas, Catherine of Siena, John Calvin, Herman Bavinck, Johannes Voss, C.S. Lewis, J.I. Packer, Timothy Keller, Douglas Wilson, Nancy Guthrie, Jordan T. Smith, and John Frame. All of these and many, many more remarkable individuals collectively passed on to us all that they received, starting with the apostles who received it from the Lord. This is my passion I have for you. There is nothing more worth teaching than the truth. And not just some, not just shallowness, but the entirety. That is what God wants us to hear. That is what God desires for our lives. And for these reasons, and for many, many more, I feel a sense of pride for God's church. Because in all of this, it is not I who am faithful. It is not us who are faithful. It is God who is faithful in all things. And this is why I can say with such sincerity and also know it to be true, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The faithful people of God believe that. Praise be to God. What we are meant to do, my friends, is the same thing that we are always meant to do when we come to the Lord. I give up. I am not my own. I am yours. Teach me, Lord, and help me to accept that which has been faithfully passed down. God, help me. May we all do that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Holy Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I am not my own. We are not our own, but we belong to you, body and soul. Every aspect of us, everything that we have, our minds, our emotions, our body, our spirit, it is all yours. My house is not my own. My land is not my own. The things that I have are not my own. My family is not my own. They are yours. And so, Lord, I give up. I give it all up to you. I ask, O Lord, that you would bring about much fruit from it all. Because you are the Lord who plants. You are the Lord who waters. You are the Lord that grows. You are the Lord that allows your sun to shine, that the impurities of my life and our lives can be burned away. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your church. These things are the blessings of God to the people of God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.